Elijah followed hard. He followed hard. It was not reasonable to follow, but the man followed. Because there was hunger in his heart. He was tired of the ordinary. There's no place for an ordinary man. So when you come to the place of prayer like this, you don't need anybody to encourage you. Encourage yourself and press. Press deep. The scripture says, they that do business in the deep waters, they shall see the wonders of God. As long as you are on shallow waters, my brother, my sister, demons will steal. Will steal from your life. They will spoil you. You will be snared. You will be held in prison until you rise up and begin to grow. We dominate by priesthood. Without priesthood, don't expect that anything, nothing just comes. Yes, you can have prophecies hanging over your life, but my brother, you will die with those prophecies. And it will not be as if God is not powerful. There's a part God must play. There's a part a man must play. If you don't play your part, God will not come and do your own part. See, the heaven, even the heavens of heaven belongs to God, but the earth that's given to the sons of men. If you don't rise up, I assure you, many things will keep going wrong. People will keep dying. The devil will keep taking territories while you are there. The reason why God has planted you in that territory, in that nation, in that family, is so that you will manifest his glory. I want us to rise up. If you are tired, our father yesterday that was preaching, he told us how for a long time, demons dealt with him. I assure you, it is through priesthood that you will live. It is through priesthood that you will enter into the fulfillment of the prophecy hanging over our nation, even your family. I want you to cry. Lord, put something upon me in this conference that when I leave this place, it will be evident. So the new Saul, say, is this not the Saul? Is this not Saul? Is Saul also one among the prophets? For Jesus said, is this not the carpenter's son? But there's something that happened to him. There's something that came upon him that his world could not deny. They could not deny that, yes, the man has entered into a dimension that prior to that, can you cry out? The hungry will cry. The desperate will cry. I will no longer pay lip service in the presence of the Lord. And when you get dissatisfied, then the yoke shall be broken off your neck. Rapapo. Ayo, ayo, ayo. Ayo, papa, 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 papa. Ayo, papa, 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 papa. Ayo. Rapo, rapo, rapo. Ayo, papa, papa, papa. Ayo. Ayo, ayo, ayo. Rapa, papa, papa, papa. Ilo. Oh Lord, that I might see your glory and your power. That I might see your glory and your power. I as I have seen in the sanctuary. In that marriage, you will sustain it by power. That job, your ministry. Without power, you will live
under the mercy of demons. John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. There's a mystery of the eagle. There's a mystery of the eagle. He saw us. And you saw us this morning in the spirit.
Can we just be intentional about our worship this morning? With our hands lifted up. We love your precepts. Hey, where is your fragrance? Jesus, what are you saying now? Hey, hey, we love your presence. Jesus, we love your precepts. Hey, where is your fragrance? We love your presence.
We love your presence.
We love your precepts.
We love your precepts.
Jesus, where is your fragrance?
Where is your fragrance?
What are you saying now? What are you saying now? We love your presence. Hataya, we love your precepts.
What are you saying now?
So, Lord, this morning we approach unto you seeking that you might enlighten us about the intricacies of your kingdom. Open our understanding and shed your light in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are most welcome this morning. You may take your seat as you turn your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 20, which is the scripture that we read in justification of our emphasis for this month of October. And this is Apostle Paul coming to the rescue to bring perspective as touching the realities of the kingdom of God. And this is the statement he made, that the kingdom of God was not in word, but in power. If you ever did elementary biology, you will find that there are a lot of things in biology that cannot be adequately taught without the aid of a diagram illustrating the concept, illustrating the thing. And for the kingdom of God, the instrument by which we can illustrate a thing happens to be the power of God. The power of God is the most efficient means to illustrate the presence of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "If I by the finger of God cast out devils, then the kingdom of God is among you." You see, the ability to expel demons is a practical manifestation of the presence and the supremacy of the kingdom of God. So just like you illustrate a concept with a diagram, you illustrate the kingdom with power. So outside of power, it'll be difficult, outside of the kingdom, it'll be difficult to explain power, the power that is resident in the kingdom of God. Because everything that God wants to do, he normally illustrates it with power. That's how this realm of the kingdom of God is. Now, we want to take some time to do Bible study. I hope you are not tired. Hallelujah. We want to take some time to do Bible study. So I would like us to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 28 as we begin to take our journey. Matthew chapter 28 as we begin to take our journey. Please remember that in order for God to illustrate anything, the best means by which he can achieve that is through power. Because this scripture is revealing that there is a possibility to attempt to explain kingdom things using words. Words are going to be weak, they are going to be inefficient, they are going to be ineffective, but power is more illustrative of the dominion, the capacity that is resident in the kingdom of God. So Apostle Paul says, the kingdom of God is not in what?
Words.
So are you there now? In the book of Matthew, chapter 28. It's a long study. I'll just take as much as the time will allow. And we want to consider the purpose of power. Since we have established that the kingdom of God is not in word, we have established that the kingdom of God can be most adequately illustrated by power, then it is therefore needful for us to show you the contexts in which power is used to illustrate some spiritual realities. Are you with me? You are not with me? Okay. Since you are not with me, there's a part of the teaching I'm going to leave out as when you become hungry in the spirit, then we might be led to discuss those matters. In the book of Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, the Bible says, then the disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus has appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Please, hold on. Let us attempt to explain this scripture so that you will know what is going on here. Now, Jesus, at this point in time, had resurrected from the dead. And he booked an appointment with his disciples on a certain mountain because he was going to show himself alive from the dead. And his disciples came to the place appointed, at the time appointed, and Jesus showed up. Hallelujah. Immediately, most of the disciples began to worship, but even some in their company doubted. Are you here? Oh, you're not with me. Oh, you're not with me. Now, because you're not with me, I think I need to open a few more scriptures to show you the implication of what I'm reading here. Stay with me. Can you stay? Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 2. You're not following. Now, I would like to present to us the defense that Peter gave on the day of Pentecost for what was happening, which was difficult to comprehend. Because the perception of what took place in the upper room from several people that saw the event of the encounter of Pentecost was that these guys are just drunk. So there was a need for an interpreter to rise in the midst of that event that was taking place to bring perspective to the meaning and the significance of what took place in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. That was the day that Peter came to the rescue to bring perspective. And this was his attempt to provide a defense for that which was taking place in the upper room. Are you there in the book of Acts chapter 2? Verse 22, the defense begins to thicken. He says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by what? You're not with me. His first defense was that one of the evidences of Jesus' approval, one of the evidences of Jesus' approval in ministry were acts of the supernatural. That Jesus was approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was impossible that he should be holding of it. For David speaketh concerning him, for I saw the Lord always before my face, For he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren. The second major thing he now speaks about is about the utterances of David. First thing he spoke about Jesus was that he was approved by miracles, signs and wonders which God did through him among the people. Then in his discussion, he now begins to emphasize David. And that begins in verse 29. Say, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Meaning that David's throne was immortalized. Meaning that David's throne was captured as something that was immortalized. And there is going to be a king that will be an eternal king that will come through the lineage of David on the strength of the covenant of David that was promised to be so. And he was trying to explain to us how that Jesus is the one that was going to occupy the immortalized throne of David. He had to bring this to the notice of Israel. He's seen this before, speak of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus had God raised up, wherefore we are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this which ye now see and hear. I need to explain that. Peter's explanation for the day of Pentecost was the exaltation of Jesus in the heavenlies. This exaltation of Jesus actually involves bringing Jesus into his heavenly ministry. You see, when Jesus ascended into the heavens, he was admitted into a heavenly ministry, and that is what Peter was speaking about. That in heaven, Jesus has been exalted, and the implication of his exaltation is the outpouring of the Spirit which was seen that day. Is that clear? I'm going to show you, as we read on, the two levels of majesty that Jesus was brought into in the heavens, and the consequence of that admission into those majestic platforms in the realm of the Spirit, so that you can understand that when Jesus rose from the dead and he appointed a location where his disciples will meet with him, he had to introduce himself according to his new status to his disciples. Because the disciples had known him in his earthly manifestations, in his earthly miracles, in earthly signs and wonders, but they were not aware of the fact that some coronation had taken place in the heavenlies that had brought him into two dimensions of majesties. And in keeping with this new reality, he was trying to educate them, and he had to make certain statements in the book of Matthew chapter 28. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. All right. So, are you still there? All right. So, verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Now, what he's saying here is the issue about the coronation, the exaltation of Jesus is captured conveniently in prophecy in the book of Psalms 110, verse 1 to 3. That was the prophetic perspective of the fulfillments that had taken place in the heavenlies, and Jesus' status has been amplified in the heavens above. In fact, the entire administration of the activities of the heavens have been committed unto his office. So he has a new designation in the realm of the spirit, and he will need to bring the apostles into the understanding of this his new designation. And that is what the portrait that we studied about in the book of Matthew chapter 28 is all about. Now, this is it. Verse 36 is the scripture that I have been hunting all this while. Verse 36. Because verse 36 of Acts chapter 2 contains the two capacities that Jesus has been admitted into and his new administrative and operational reality. This episode was what the disciples did not have the privilege to see. And so Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he needed to bring the disciples up to speed with his current status in the spirit. And there are attendant compliments that accompany his current status. And we are going to see all of that in the book of Matthew chapter 28. Are you with me? You see, there's so little time. There's so much to talk about. So I felt we needed to take some shortcuts. But I just realized that shortcuts are really not possible these days. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 36, this is Peter's conclusion. After all of the presentations he made subsequently, he comes to this conclusion. What's the conclusion? He said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God, can we put the Father there? That the Father had made that same Jesus. There are two levels of majesties that have been conferred upon him. Made him both, what? Number one, Lord. What is the meaning of Lord? Adonai, Master. That means everything that is in the universe of God will never find its ultimate purpose and fulfillment if it does not acknowledge Jesus as Adonai, as Master. So Jesus is Master. So if in your Christian journey there is no evidence that you have a Master, it means that you are like an ox that is running mad. Because a healthy ox, if you leave it and it goes grazing, it will come back home in the night to his master. You don't like my talk. God, the Father, on the basis of this coronation that took place in the heavenlies, Jesus has been admitted into the capacity of lordship. On the strength of this designation, you are not with me. Let me tell you the purpose of time. We are still on Lord, right? So we'll see the things that happened in the heavens. Then we can now go back to the book of Matthew chapter 28. Then you understand the comments that Jesus made. Then in those comments, you will see one of the purposes, one of the things that the power of God is designed to illustrate. Because I said that the power of God is the means through which things are adequately illustrated in the kingdom of God. And that is why there is a scripture in the Bible that says the kingdom of God is not in word, but it is in power. That is a utensil by which things in God's realm are illustrated. Is that clear? So we want to see the first thing that the power of God must illustrate to every generation. So according to Peter's presentation on the day of Pentecost, Jesus had been admitted into the capacity of one, lordship. And I'll explain that. Number two, Jesus has been admitted into the capacity of the Christ. And this admission into the office or the capacity or the ministry of the Christ took place in heaven after his ascension. So those were some of the things that took place in the heavenlies. And the apostles that were not privileged to stumble into these realities need to be briefed about what has happened. It's just like a woman, a single lady in this congregation that now becomes married and someone doesn't know that she's married. And the person now comes, there is a likelihood that the person is going to address her as with the former names. Jane, where's Jane? What's your surname? Now you can't talk now. Francis. All right, so this is Sister Jane Francis. I don't know whether she's an European. This is Jane Francis. Hallelujah. So when she now gets married, that Francis end of the name is going to change. And if somebody was not there in the wedding, the person is still likely to call her Jane Francis. And that will be in error. So she needs to now reintroduce herself to the person that missed her day, so that the person can update his or her knowledge about her. So something took place in heaven, and Jesus will need to update us about the knowledge of that which took place, so that we can relate with him on the strength of his new status, which was furnished in heaven upon his ascension. There are two things that took place, and these were things that were conferred upon Jesus. There are responsibilities and compliments that were conferred upon Jesus upon his arrival back into heaven after fulfilling the claims of divine justice. So Jesus was named Lord. The honors of lordship were passed to him. So I need to show you a few more scriptures that will give you an insight into this lordship dimension that Jesus was brought into on the account of his ascension into heaven. Can you do me a favor? Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 briefly. In Ephesians chapter 1, we have a clear presentation of what we call the eternal purpose. In all the books that Apostle Paul wrote, the book of Ephesians happens to be the most matured. At the time that Apostle Paul was writing the book of Ephesians, he had gained the utmost maturity in his walk with God. And he had a unique calling of being a custodian of revelatory powers to update the church about her prophetic destiny. And in the book of Ephesians 1, we see a display of dexterity, a display of revelatory prowess, a display of maturity, a display of an understanding, a clear-cut understanding of the precise destiny of the Church of Jesus Christ coming through the ministry of Apostle Paul. In the book of Romans, Apostle Paul could visualize a believer to be once a sinner that is saved by the grace of God through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, in the book of Ephesians, there is a transition from sinner to saint and all the attendant dynamics and deliverance that had to take place in order for him to function fully as a new creation. You will see how that I don't want to go there. It will take too much time. But in the book of Ephesians, Paul goes more, far more deeper than his simple presentation in the book of Romans, you could see that experience, maturity, dexterity had entered into his deliverables. And it's a book that we need to study carefully, because I was trying to go through a few scriptures in Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. And if you read it from the Greek, that's when you will appreciate how knowledgeable Apostle Paul was. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, amongst many things that he unveiled, he also revealed what the purpose of time is. Paul revealed the purpose of time. What is God doing for all of time? And he reveals this in one verse. You will know that the man, Apostle Paul, was a Colossus. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Still trying to explain what it means. When you say Jesus is Lord, I'm just trying to explain what it means. Because when he ascended, he was admitted into the capacity of Lordship and into the capacity of the Christ. All right? So this is just to digress, an attempt at digressing to show us the implication of his Lordship. What is God doing in the whole of time? In the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9, the Bible says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. That means his will was hidden, and by his mercy through divine revelation, he has made known to us the content that was concealed in his will previously. And this will of his is according to his good pleasure, which he had proposed in himself. This will of God is consistent with a desire that God had in his heart. So, and what is this will that has been revealed? You will see that in the next verse, which is verse 10, and which is my emphasis. See, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. What God is doing in Christ is bringing in time, is bringing everything under the Lordship of Christ. To show you how vast the scope of his Lordship is, God labors throughout time to ensure that everything is brought under the authority of this one man, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That means the realm that his Lordship covers, the realms that his Lordship covers, is so vast, and he includes everything. And God will be laboring tirelessly throughout time to ensure that he brings everything under the control, under the government of Christ. And that's the reason why we cannot preach and teach if we are true and sincere to the spirit of the word of God. We cannot teach adequately without having to bring men under the government of this Christ, because in the heavenlies, he has been admitted into the capacity of Lordship. So any form of discipleship labor, pastoral labor, evangelistic labor that we are involved in, that doesn't result in bringing men under the influence of the government of Christ, it is a departure from the spirit of the book called the Bible. Because what God will be doing all through time is to bring every loose end under the control of his majesty. Because when he ascended back into the heavens, he was named Lord and he was named the Christos, the Christ, the administrator. It is him that administers the domain of life. You see, in the book of John, chapter 3, from verse 3, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In that scripture, that is one among a few scriptures in the Bible that reveals that the realm called the kingdom of God is a realm that is governed by the divine life. Your entry into the realm of the divine life. The day you gave your life to Christ, you were admitted into the realm of the divine life. You were supposed to be living your earthly life from the resources that are in the divine life. And the mayor that governs the realm of the divine life happens to be Jesus the righteous. So, if you are born again, Jesus is the author and the finisher of your salvation. If you are not born again and you are in creation, the Bible says Jesus is the one that actually performed creation, according to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Oh, you are not with me. If you are a principality, the Bible says he is the head of principalities and powers. If you are a member of the body of Christ, the Bible calls him the head of the church. And the reason why he's head of all things is so that God can eventually make him preeminent. That is the objective of what God is trying to achieve in all of time. And so if you are here today, you have a calling, there's something God is pressing upon your heart to begin to do, and you are delaying and you are delaying. What you are doing is that you are denying him his status in your life as lordship. And the implication is that your life is wasting. Because the Bible says in him does everything consist. Such things in heaven, such things in on earth have no meaning apart from him. It is him that will not give you meaning. So operating outside of the government of God is wasting. It means your life has no meaning from the realm of the immortals. You are measured into time like a man that is wandering in a forest. May the Lord give you understanding. Now, I said all of this just to show you the capacity of Jesus as Lord. And I assure you, it is an honor to be under his government. It's an honor to serve his will all the days of your life. I speak as a man that was in public service for 16 years, earning a good salary. Hallelujah. Because of the kind of job that I was into, I was not a poor man. But the only meaning my life had was that, the only meaning that job had in my life was that it empowered me to be able to facilitate and fast track what Jesus had called me to do. Meanwhile, a lot of my friends that did not have my kind of convictions were also there on the job. Once upon a time, one of them bought a Benz. Sorry, I didn't know I would speak about this. If not, I would have Googled it and told you the model of the Benz and the year it was manufactured. But I didn't know I'd be talking about this. So I don't have the details of the year it was manufactured. But I'm a fan of Benz, so I know that it's within the range of 2012 and 2013. It's either 12 or 13. So the guy bought a Benz ML 350. 2012. So he gave me a lift because I was trekking. I was using buses, public transport. Those of you that have been in Lagos, you know those yellow buses. Oh my God. Most of the revelations I'm teaching you today, I got them. The inspiration came in Molowe, came in those vehicles. So I was a strange man. How will someone that is earning more than a million be hopping on yellow buses in Lagos? And when we come for operational meeting, you know that that's where the boys are separated from the men. You know the people that understand the what we are trying to implement. And after the meeting, I hop on a KK to the major bus stop. Then I look for my yellow bus. And because of hold up, it will take like 3 hours before it reaches my area. Those 3 hours, I'll be praying in tongues. I'm not driving. And those were the times I saw the visions of God. Now, so this guy now gave me a lift to relieve me of the burden of accessing my yellow buses. That means he had cut me off my revelation pathway for that day. He didn't know that it was a great price I had to pay to accompany him. And you guess what he told me? He put the air conditioning, he put it on the highest. And when all the ventilation had come, he now asked me, "What are you doing with your money?" So, in order for me not to release my secret, and I said, "We are learning from people like you. We are learning from people like you. Now, this is your car. How much did you buy this car?" I said, $4 million. My money was in the gospel. But he would not understand it. The reason why I was doing that job, all right? The meaning of it was, it afforded me the resourcefulness to prosecute the will of my Father. Are you with me? And when God felt I needed a car, he didn't give me money to buy it. He put the burden on people to buy a car for me. Are you with me? You're not with me. You see, the car that the people bought was that same car that guy was riding, but the 2018 model, which the guy, in all of his public service history, will not be able to gather the kind of money needed to buy that vehicle. And, oh my God, you see, Jesus, serve Jesus. Please help me tell your neighbor, serve Jesus, his master. His master. So on all sides, I have no regret serving Jesus. My life has... Are you with me? Recently, don't worry. I will keep quiet today. During the next conference, 1 month from now, you will see my colleagues here. They have said they are coming. That, hallelujah. According to Paul, the meaning of time is the window that is needed for God to bring everything under the government of Jesus Christ, because he is Lord. Right? He's not just Lord, he's also Christ. He's the warden of the protocol of the divine life. And what I mean by all of that is, you cannot speak to God in prayer, and the prayer will get to the Father, without the help of the office that Jesus administers. He's in the center of every process that you initiate that is governed by the life of God. Such a man is so exalted that he doesn't need advertisement. His office is more than any office that any man has ascended at any time. And because of the majesty that is given unto him, you cannot avoid him even in time or in eternity. That is how bogus his status is. And the Bible says that he earned a name that is above every name. He earned that name upon ascension in his full robust stature. These were the things that took place in heaven. And Jesus will need to update his disciples about his current status. And that was what Matthew chapter 28, where I read to us, is about. Can we go back to Matthew 28 now? Maybe understanding would have come to us. Matthew 28:16, where we read, "When the disciples went away, then the disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus has appointed them." There was an appointed place where he would reveal himself to them. So they went there, and when they saw him, he appeared there on that mountain, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. But you see, even though they were issues he had to deal with. There was doubt in the community. There was doubt in the conclave. Jesus did not have time to address the doubt, because the reason for which he had appeared was to give them an idea of the things that have taken place, which they are not aware of, in the heavens, and to unveil to them the reality of his new status. Are you with me? There were doubters in the congregation. He discerned them. He saw them. But that was not the matter at that time. What was the matter? He wanted to unveil to them, give them a quick update. And that update is in verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in what? Earth. Now, the question is this. What is the purpose of this power? Because I said that power is the instrument by which God illustrates things. If God wants to illustrate something, then he makes power available. All right. So Jesus has been exalted. Jesus has been brought into the capacity of Lord. Jesus had been admitted into the capacity of Christ. Is that clear? So now he comes to the apostles and say, all power is given unto me. I was expecting Jesus to say, I am now Lord. I was expecting Jesus to say, I am now Christ. But what did he say? All power is given unto me. Why was this power given unto him? This power was given unto him to operate the office that he has assumed. It's just, are you with me? Now, when you, those days in the industry, when I was still in public service, the IT people in our office connected all of our workstations, and we have passcodes by which you enter into your own membrane, your work membrane. So if you are promoted from one status to another status, you will need another password at that level to be able to access the platform at that level. If not, you'll be operating, the platform will be only accessible to you to the degree of your interfacing and your rank. Right, so if you are promoted, then you will need another password to operate on a higher level. Now, Jesus, he was promoted in the heavens. And the implication of his promotion is that he is given power to operate the office that he now occupies. Meanwhile, Jesus was a powerful man when he was upon the face of the earth. Are you with me? But guess what he's saying now? He said, all power. So, power was given to Jesus for him to operate the office that he now occupies. It's on the strength of that power that Jesus now gives the Great Commission, the charge for the Great Commission. Go! On the strength of what? Oh, you are not here. So, the first thing that the power of God illustrates, right? This is my classes. Okay, I'm going to stop in the next 15 minutes. The first thing that the power of God illustrates is the current status and the current reality of Jesus. That's the first purpose of power. That's the first thing power of God illustrates. So just in case in this meeting you find cripples walking, it's the power of God that is illustrating to us the capacity of Jesus in the heavenlies. Because the power is the instrument by which kingdom things are illustrated, and that's why the kingdom of God is not in word. So the first thing that the power of God will illustrate is what? Is the capacity of Jesus. Because it's on the strength of the power that was given to him to operate his office that he now said to us, go ye into all the world. So if I go for Jesus, the power that will flow from my life is illustrating his status in the realm of the spirit. You will never know Jesus' status in the realm of the spirit until you have a collision with power. That power reveals that right now, Jesus in the heavens, he has been exalted. So the first thing that the power of God illustrates, it illustrates the office, the capacity of the office of Jesus. Because he was given power to operate the office, and it is out of that power that he commissions us to go in his name. That's the first thing that the power of God illustrates. We need to understand that we cannot teach about power outside of the kingdom of God. I did a very elaborate study before this weekend so that when I'm talking on power, I will be talking with accuracy. So I took time to study the doctrine of power. And like I said, I realized that power is a means through which God illustrates things. And part of what God wants to illustrate to you is the new capacity of Jesus. Is that clear? He needs it adequately illustrated so that no one will doubt the capacity of Jesus. If we go to the streets today, people are not sure of Jesus' saving ability. If we go among your siblings, we might find some people that are not sure that Jesus can save. And the reason why they are still in doubt is because his saving ability has not yet been illustrated. And so they are ignorant of what the extent to which Jesus can save. The other day, some women went to minister to a man who has been in custody of a certain shrine. He has been the guardian of a certain deity for 35 years. So when they minister to him, he said he knows that what they are saying is true, but he cannot give his life to Christ. For him, it is too late. The reason why the man thinks it's too late for him is because he doesn't know the saving capacity of Jesus. The moment the power of God is demonstrated, suddenly that man now realizes that, oh, what the demons told me, that my own life is already complicated and salvation is not my portion, was a lie. Every view he held, he could conveniently hold those views because the saving capacity of Jesus had not been illustrated around him for him to see. Simon the sorcerer, in the Bible, he was a sorcerer masquerading to have been saved. And when Peter came and John from Jerusalem, and they began to lay hands on the brethren to receive the Holy Ghost, we could see his corruption sprang forth because there was an illustration of something that was not natural. It was an illustration of the excellency, the majesty of Jesus in the heavenlies that the Holy Ghost was illustrating. And when a sorcerer saw it, he said, "Kai." He offered them money. The moment the realities that are in the spirit can be adequately illustrated, you will find people will give their life to Christ. Power is the means by which realities can be what? Illustrated. Is there a deity that is worshipped in your compound? And the reason why the custodian of that shrine is so bold to introduce himself as the one that has kept the platform of his ancestors is because no illustration of kingdom things have been demonstrated before him. And as far as he's concerned, what he's serving has residual power enough to prosecute his business and to support his protection. As long as that is the philosophy, and there's no counter theory that will counter his position through a superior illustration of the dynamics of the grace of God, that man will hold on to that belief until he perishes. How so little of God's power is on display. That's why people are in doubt about Jesus. But Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. He now says, go ye therefore. It was the same breath by which he revealed his new capacity that he sent us. It means that he sent you by power. If you are going in the direction that Jesus asks you to go, and something comes attempting to contradict your goings, that thing is going to meet with the authority by which you were dispatched. And Satan and satanic agents will never believe in the power of Jesus until there is an illustration. And Jesus said, if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, then the kingdom of God is among you. Oh my God. And so we need to preach the gospel of power, and we need to preach the power of the gospel. And that's the way illustrations can take place. And people will know that there is a throne exalted in majesty in the heavens. And there is nothing the devil has that is like that throne. This is the confidence that I walk in. There was a certain nation we went to, and when we got there, we were told that there is a region in that nation. It's full of marabouts and soothsayers and sorcerers. That our ministry will prosper more if we avoid those kind of places. And in my own opinion, it was denial of the content of our calling. So we now made those places our priority. If it is true that His Majesty is seated there in the heavens, we need to illustrate Him among the marabouts. His name is not known among them, because there is no one that is confident enough in the resources of heaven to put Him on display. Do you know what happened when we went to that field? The hand of God on our lives was stronger than what it was outside. We saw a version of ourselves clothed with the glory of God, much more than we have ever experienced in our life. Yokes broke so much that demons began to speak through people. How did you come here? Why did you come? Something else had shaken the delicate balance that was in the atmosphere. Everywhere we went in that region, demons spoke through people. And you guess what? The fact that they spoke doesn't mean they will not go. When you finish talking, if we lose the utensil of power, the issues of salvation will become argumentative. People will say, I'm not seeing it from that perspective. It will become a thing of relativism. And many people will argue their way out of salvation. But if it's illustrated, before we continue in the teaching, I would like you to pray where you are sitting. Because you are the agency through which this power will be illustrated in your community, in your place of designation, in your place of assignment, in that place where God has domiciled you. And for those of you that are listening to me on the internet, on cable TV, on YouTube, if God is rejected in your community, it is because we do not have what it takes to illustrate His Majesty. We lack what it takes to illustrate His glory. We lack what it takes to illustrate His excellent glory. Oh my God. These are those days when we need to go closer to Him to seek His endorsement. The Bible says Jesus Christ was a man
approved of God by miracles, approved of God by signs, approved of God by wonders. We come to you this morning to receive an endorsement. The witches in the community have boasted for too long. We come to receive from you an endorsement. There is something. I was designed to be. I was created to be a man of power. I was created to be a woman of power. We come to you today for an endorsement in the spirit. This is my destiny. This is my calling. This is why I was apprehended in Jesus Christ, that he might use me to be a tool to illustrate his glory, to illustrate his majesty, to illustrate the potency of his kingdom. Let the arguments around your life cease. God wants to illustrate. I cover sick. Man so sick, Kabobo no compre. Marco Pascuse Salamandaria. Eamos Cabelaita. Iko Peto Compe Lama Suke. My combo sala. We come for an endorsement. Jesus was approved of God by signs. Jesus was approved of God by wonders. I must see Kobelemaya. Oboroko Mosekeke. Lamosia, you are the prophet of your family. You are the savior among your people. Your name has been mentioned. The hand of God is upon you. The tide of darkness must give way. A new illustration must begin with me. I go Basile Maila. Amos Kebo. Presto Pedanika Santa. Diamo Sekete. Ronga Busala. Embos Kamose. Ebrekeda. Ikapatua. Abresto Pelame. Sakompe. Iskomi. It must be said. It must be said concerning me that it was by his voice I saw the power of Jesus. Hey, Sukema. I'm a Mokoria. Seminelo. Obreske Masika. Abatos Keto Bokolo. Embreska. There is something that must be illustrated. It must be illustrated. There is a diagram that must be illustrated. It will be illustrated by the power of God. Emine, so say Salanovo. Esa Selie, Eko Malana, Sekomo, Koresa Salema. Something must be said. A statement must be made. A statement must be made. We seek endorsement. We seek empowerment. We seek grace. We seek grace. We seek an impartation. Alabo! Makaile besekelia. Amakos keso salamunda. Abros keso selabila galia. Abaito kombelama. Arabo soke maike. Rasketo kobela patokolea. Men will not believe us until they see signs and wonder. Seminando Cobelasca, Ebrosqueto Pantelia, We have too many noisemakers this day. The kingdom of God is not in war. The kingdom of God is not in war. It is not a war.
counsel us. Hey, hey. Ah, ah, ah. Shagadas.
When he called the disciples unto himself, the Bible says he gave them power to go and preach the gospel. First of all, he didn't give them message. What he gave them first was power. And the apostle said, oh my God, I'm feeling something already. Something is moving here already. Something is moving in this hall already. There's power moving here already. Jesus. 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 Jesus.
The kingdom, because power is not accompanied, because power is not in it. It will just be mere words. It will just be mere words. It takes power for someone to be convicted. It takes power for one to believe. It takes power for someone to submit to that which we are saying. So when we're talking about power, it's not just that you fall. It's not just that miracle will take place. But that you decide to hand over your life. That you decide to come to the altar. The Bible says, after that Peter had preached, said 3,000 souls, 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ. That day, there was no miracle. There was no obvious manifestation of power. There was no miracle. Nobody fell. But there was deep conviction. It cut through their hearts. The Bible said they were pricked. That was the release of power. What we carry today is mere words. And we're more of lecturers than preachers of the gospel. Can we make a cry one more time? Can we lift up our voice one more time and make a cry? Say, Lord, endue me with power. Endue me with power. Let me not go out of this conference, particularly this session, without coming in contact with your power. Coming in contact with your power. The gospel, the kingdom, it's not expressed in words. It is in power. In other words, sometimes you will not talk, but the manifestation of power, we have already preached the gospel. The manifestation of power, your appearance alone has already preached the gospel. It is not just voice. A lot are conveyed. The majesty of Jesus. It is in the demonstration of power.
I just realized now that power is a language that illustrates the kingdom, that speaks about the kingdom. Illustrated the language, it is not in word, it is not in English, it is not Idoma, it is not Thief, it's not Hausa. You may not speak any of these languages, but where power is demonstrated, communication has been handled already. Communication is made already. Communication is effected already. Can you say, Lord, I receive the language of power. I receive the language of power. Teach me the language of power. Teach me the language of power. That is what Satan understands. That is what nobles understands. That is what principalities and powers understand. You can't come before Pharaoh. I've been talking English. You can't come before Pharaoh. What you want to see is power. What you want to see is not that the Bible says alone. What you want to see is what accompanied what you said the Bible says. Satan has bound for these 18 years be made free. When Satan bounds,
He doesn't bound with words. He bounds with power. And if we must lose, then it's not just words. It must be power. And that's what Ezekiel said, why he yet speaketh. Because he has already a carrier of power. His words, not communicated power. His words, not transmitted that which he carried. So words are actually a transmission of the power of God that's resident inside of you. Can you say, Lord, I can hear your talk. I say, can you say, Lord, teach me the language of power. Teach me the language of power. Educate me about power. And give me power. Open your mouth and let us cry. Ay, 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 ay,
disciples came unto him. He said, when will thou restore the kingdom to Israel? They actually didn't know what the kingdom is from the perspective of God. God said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons that have been appointed by my Father. But go and wait for me in Jerusalem until the case with many of us is that we don't wait until. We're in a hurry to go out. The disciples were always in a hurry to go out and represent God, empty-handed. Only what they taught you from theology or what you read from the preacher of the book of the Bible. He had taught them all of that. But he said, going only with that is as good as going empty-handed. Go and wait. And this is not just for you to go and wait and just decide anytime you want to go and wait until I decide to give you power. And that was the beginning of the move of power in Acts of the Apostles. And the protocol has not changed. The formula has not changed. If you must be a carrier of power, you must wait. That's the price. You will have to wait. You will have to wait. And waiting is not just go and forehand and sit down. They were waiting in prayer. Waited until it came. This morning, we're going to make a cry. Give us the grace. Give us the power to wait. The power to receive power. The power to wait so you can receive power. The power to tarry. The power to tarry until you have received power. Power to tarry. Go and wait. They went to go, or they went to wait without the Holy Ghost. And they were there for 10 days, according to theology. 10 days without the Holy Ghost. 10 days of dried prayer. But they persisted in that dryness until an endowment, lubrication came. Until an empowerment came. And many of us here already, we have the first consignment. We have received the Holy Ghost. The Spirit has come. So waiting is not, will not be a challenge. Waiting until you receive, not a challenge. Can you say, Lord, baptize me. Release on me. Consume me with the passion. Consume me with the ability. That nothing will mean not anything to me. Anything will mean nothing to me. I will stay like the apostles. I will forget about my farm. I will forget about that which matters. And I will stay until your hand is stretched out to my direction in the form of power, that I will not go out empty-handed. The reason why the gods of the land has not submitted, the reason why it is empty talk, is because they didn't see us anything. They didn't see us illustrating power. They didn't see us communicating kingdom through power, because that's the only one they recognize. That's the only one that they respect and submit to. Lord, let your power come upon me, that I will be able to wait the way they waited before it came. Open your mouth and let us pray. Oh.
come. The passion, Lord, the hunger, Lord, the devil, Lord, let your zeal consume, let the passion consume. Let the hunger, to stay. Take away fatigue, take away lessness, take away lethargy, take away flesh, O God. Let it consume, let it consume. Let the star power, star ability, star power, star grace, star grace, star grace.
I give unto you. Sekene melehagas, kondolo hakema, epakunde ikalas, zukene ekatuna, okas, ekayas. Somebody's already feeling heat. Heat. Yes, help out there. There's already heat in your body. It's the heat of the Holy Ghost. It's the heat of, oh my God. Something's moving on your head already. Sekela hidaha ilokando honakas. Somebody's receiving an empowerment. An empowerment. An empowerment. Oil is poured on your head. Oil. Oil. Yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Help out there.
Ekayalas. Ekolakeas. Endokanda. Elokwada. Elosese. Kodobalas. Ekadadwa. Padokas. Lord, I provoke a stirring in the belly of the spirit of your people. I provoke a hunger. I provoke a stirring. Let the spirit that confess, that compares people to wait. Let the spirit of passion, the spirit, the zeal that consumes Jesus, let it come like comet upon your people. That way they'll be driven into the place of prayer. They'll be driven like John the Baptist into the place of waiting, into the wilderness. Let it come now. 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 Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you.
Take your seats. Let's cast our offerings immediately. We'll be breaking camp for now. Please find a place and take time to sort yourself out in view of this emphasis that have come our way. The kingdom of God is not in word, but it is in power. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Do not be afraid, for it is the will of my Father to give you the kingdom." So let's go with that understanding to seek God and to trust Him for a very definite, specific, verifiable encounter with this matter of emphasis. Amen. Please, our online followers, use the account details on the screen to cast your offering. If we are done with the offering, we can rise up now. By 4 p.m., the evening session will start. Please be early to be around. Come in early and fine-tune yourself for the level of transmission that will be happening. May we rise up as we close. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.